Verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. He was on a 40-day fast here. Luke indicates that there were temptations taking place during his fasting, his 40 days of fasting. The enemy was not just leaving him alone at all. The enemy never says, oh, I don't want to interrupt this. He's having a moment with the Lord. He's fasting. I don't want to get involved. The enemy never does that. The enemy will use every step of that way to try to torment and tempt. And that's what he did with Jesus. That entire 40 days was one big temptation after another. But it would seem that the big attack comes, according to verses 2 and 3, after the fasting of Jesus had concluded. Now, he still hasn't eaten anything yet, but the fasting has concluded. It's done. And the Bible says, both in Matthew and Luke, that after Christ's 40 days of fasting, he became hungry. After he fasted for 40 days, he became hungry. Does that sound like a strange statement to you? If you've never done an extended fast before, if you don't know too much about extended fast, that will not make sense to you. But if you have been on an extended fast, then you know that after about 3 or 4 days of an extended fast, the sensation of hunger leaves completely and will not bother you again for the extent of your extended fast. It just goes away. You'll have to battle that feeling of hunger, those hunger pains, for the first 2, 3, 4 days. Maybe if you're really unhealthy, 5 days. But after you get past that initial period, things completely change. And the sensation of hunger completely leaves your body. And it does not return until when? Hold that thought. You see, what takes place in the body during an extended fast is for the first 2, 3, or 4 days, your body is so used to meals every 4 hours or so. If you're like me, maybe every 2. And your body is so used to those meals that for 3 or 4 days, your body holds on waiting for that next meal so that it can burn those calories. And what takes place physiologically, we know this from medical studies, what takes place physiologically is after about 3 or 4 days, the body finally gives up. The body finally gets the hint and says, okay, there's just no more meals coming. And so the body, as if it flips a switch, goes from the expectation of that meal for calorie burning, and it switches and now opens up all of your fat reserves to be burned because you're not putting food in. And so for some of us, you know, that's about 5 or 10 pounds of calories that can be burned. For some of us, maybe that's 50. But there are a lot of calorie reserves stored up in your body fat. And once that internal switch is flipped, your body suddenly has unlimited calories, so it would seem, for a while. And all of a sudden, after 3 or 4 days of battling through the hunger and the weakness, all of a sudden, you have seemingly unlimited energy. Your mind is crystal clear, and you feel better than you ever did when you were gorging your body every 4 hours with a meal. And so we many times have a misconception about fasting because we've never done an extended fast, but an extended fast is really not that painful, folks. It really isn't. So when hunger does return to the body, what does that mean? The hunger, the pains of hunger, the sensation of hunger returns to your body once your body has burned up all of your fat reserves. So it's out of energy. It's out of storage. You've lost a lot of weight. Your BMI, your body mass index, is very low. You're down to 5 or 10% body fat. You're looking a lot better. But when that sensation of hunger returns to the body, that's your body's way of saying, okay, we are running low on calories here that we can burn. We burned up all the fat. And if you don't get food very soon, the body's going to shut down. So, are you following me? 3 or 4 days, the sensation of hunger leaves during an extended fast. Somewhere around 30 days or 40 days, depending on how much body fat you have, that sensation of hunger returns, and that is the body's way of telling you, eat fast or you're going to die. And that is the situation that Jesus is in Luke 4 and in Matthew 4. He has fasted 40 days. That fast is done. Hunger has returned to his body, which means if he does not eat soon, he is going to die. And it is that moment where the devil said, okay, I've got a good idea. I'm going to tempt him to turn these stones into bread. We'll talk about that next week. But for today, with the rest of this teaching, I want to focus in on fasting. We'll continue Luke 4 next week. But what I want us to do is cover fasting as thoroughly as we can today in one sitting so that you can bookmark this study in whatever way you need to do that. Bookmark this study so that in the future, when you need inspiration to fast, or you need some guidelines on how to properly fast, you can come back to this study and be encouraged and get the information that you need to do a proper fast, because there is a right way and a wrong way to fast. And if you go on an extended fast in the wrong way, you can put your own life in jeopardy. Unfortunately for me as a young Christian, I did not have the information I needed to do an extended fast. But as a 20-year-old with his head in the clouds, I decided I was going to fast as long as Jesus did. And so at 20 years old, I set out on a fast and I did not know what I was doing. I thought at that time that all fasting spoken of in the scriptures was referring to the giving up of food and all liquids. So I set out to do that for 40 days. I didn't make it past day 4. And now I know, as I look back, the dangerous situation that I had put myself in. Number one, you can go, yes, 30 to 40 days safely without food, and you won't die. You might wish you were dead. I don't know. Depends on your relationship with food. But you won't die until hunger returns to the body, and then you can eat and you're fine. You lost a lot of weight, and praise God, a lot of other good things happen. But you can only go around 3 to 5 days without water. If you don't have water, you are going to die very quickly. If you live out in the desert, if you're a very active person, you may not even make it past the second day without some form of liquid. So as a general rule, when you do go to fast, and I say when, because that's how Jesus put it, when he was teaching about fasting, Jesus said, not if you fast, here's how you do it, but he said, when you fast, here's how you do it. Fasting is a part of the Christian life. If it's not a part of your spiritual regimen, you should probably start praying about this. It is a weapon that you are not using, and it's a good one. But as a general rule, when you do fast, pardon me, when you do fast, you're fasting food only. Food only. Now, I know there are some exceptions to that in the Bible. Exodus 34 comes to mind. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And I will tell you that is humanly impossible. There is no human explanation for how Moses could do that. He did that right at the second giving of the law, if you remember, if you've studied that. There's no way to explain that humanly. He should not have survived that. He should not have survived past about day, well, he's in the desert, Mount Sinai, so probably should have made it about 2 days without food and water. But he made it 40 days. That was supernatural, unexplainable help. And so unless God calls you to that, don't do it. If he does call you to it, don't tell me. Leave me out of it, because I will try to discourage you. But you always set out on your fast. Liquids are fine. You're going to drink a lot of water. You're going to drink at least a gallon of water a day. There's no other way to do it. If you're not getting enough water, you're going to put yourself through so much agony that you wouldn't have to put yourself through. So go for about a gallon of water, measure it out, make sure you're getting enough. A maximum of about 2 gallons. You don't want to do more than that. There's a reason for that. If you want to have some coffee, fine. If you want to have some tea, fine. Anything that doesn't put food calories in your body, so avoid sugars. Avoid creamer in your coffee. If you can't do black coffee or tea without creamer and sugar, which is very good, by the way. Just started that late in my life. Tea with creamer and sugar, just like my coffee. It's good. If you can't do that, if you can't go black on those things, then just avoid it altogether. Water only, liquids that aren't going to put food calories in your body, plenty of water. The reason why water is so important is because of your hunger pains, for one. When you get a hunger pain when you're fasting, it is so easy to take care of that hunger pain, and most people don't realize it. You're fasting, those first 2, 3, 4 days are rough. When you get the sensations of hunger, when the hunger pains hit, you gulp a bunch of water. That's it. Slam down about 8 ounces of water. And that hunger pain will subside, if not entirely go away. Now, if you can't make it through the hunger pains with just the water, I'll give you another tip. You won't find this in the Bible. This is from study and this is from trial and error. But if you'll take your coffee and put a tablespoon of butter in your coffee, sounds delicious. It is. It's actually good. Or a tablespoon of coconut oil in your coffee, and you'll take that. That's a little bit of food calorie, so it's cheating a little bit, but that'll help you get past the hunger pains. The reason why I'm okay with that kind of cheating when I fast is because I understand something that you should understand. Extended fasting is not about self-flagellation, inflicting pain on your own body. That's not what fasting is all about. You do not get extra points from God for additional pain that you put yourself through in your fasting. No, the main target of your fasting, your extended fasting, is to actually make it into an extended fast and get past those feelings of hunger. And if you can do that, fasting becomes easy, and then you can focus on what you're supposed to, the spiritual things, the purpose for your fast, the reason for your seeking. So if you have to give yourself that little kick to get you past that, get you over the hump, get you over the ledge. No, that sounds like you're jumping. Over the hump, we'll stick with that. If you need to do that, in my opinion, it's A-okay. The good thing about the butter and the coconut oil is it is not going to mess with the processes of the body that you want to change while you're fasting. If you decide to eat a Snickers bar, that is going to mess with the processes of the body. That's going to set you back. You're going to have many more days to go to try to get over those hunger pains. But these things will not affect the processes of the body. Your body will continue to consider itself to be on a fast. And that is what your focus is going to be on, the success of the fast. You got to give yourself grace when you try fasting for the first time, because you may only make it, you know, so far into what you set your goals for. But you got to remember, fasting is just like anything else you do for the Lord. Fasting is done by faith. So if you say today, honey, I'm going on a 40-day fast, sit back and watch me go. And you get to that second meal and you can't skip that second meal. Well, guess what? By faith, you accomplished something because you fasted one meal. You might have meant 40 days, but by faith, you fasted one meal and God saw that. So never get discouraged when you fail. Fasting is a part of training the body in something very important, and that is deprivation of the desires of the body. One of the strongest drives in the body is for food, nourishment. And so you're beginning to battle that, and that might be tough to get yourself trained on that, but if you can push past the tough stuff, you're going to end up in a really good situation. You're going to learn a lot about fasting that you never knew before. So, That's how we fast. But why do we fast? What is the purpose for our fasting? I want to make sure that you're not confused about the purpose for fasting. When I was young in the Lord, I thought fasting was a God-designed way for human beings to beg for things that they need. You know, like you're praying and you're not getting what you prayed for, so it's time to fast. That means intense begging. Lord, look, I'm not eating. I'm on a hunger strike until you answer my prayers. Nope, that is not what fasting is all about. Fasting is a more intense way to seek the Lord, not beg the Lord, but seek the Lord. And the reason that it is so effective is because something incredible happens when you go on an extended fast. As you deprive your body of your body's fleshly desires, the body gets pushed down and pushed behind you. And you will notice a very different change in your life. You will notice that your spiritual nature comes alive like never before. You will notice a difference in your prayer life. When my prayer life is dry, when my prayers are boring, when I'm boring my own self with my prayers, like, Lord, I know you got to be bored with this because I'm bored just praying it. When I get that way and I go on an extended fast, it's like someone took and lit a flame to my prayers. My doubts that I usually pray with are gone. That channel of connection between me and the Lord, it is just so real, so vibrant, so radiant in that time. My spirit wakes up as I suppress my body. I can hear from God better in the spiritual realm. I can see God better, more clearly in what he's doing. And it opens all of these things up because I have made that emphasis on the spiritual nature and I have suppressed the physical desires. So we fast to seek, not to persuade. We fast for our own spiritual benefit. We fast to wake our spirit up. We fast to ignite our prayer lives. We fast to make the spiritual things the emphasis and not the physical things. And it is a very effective way to open up that communication with the Lord like never before. So that's why we fast, and that's how we fast. The next question would be, what are the benefits of fasting? What are the benefits of fasting? And to answer that question, I'll answer it in two different ways, from two different angles. Number one, first we'll look at the benefits, the spiritual benefits of fasting. And then last of all, we'll finish this study up today with talking about the physical benefits of fasting. First of all, for the spiritual benefits of fasting, I'm going to give you some supplemental reading. All right, I'm going to give you something to go home and read. Go home and read Isaiah chapter 58. You can do it. It's only 14 verses long. You can make it. Isaiah 58, read that today. Because in Isaiah chapter 58, it is going to give you so much information about fasting. It begins by drawing attention to the motives from which fasting is done, right? Your fasting has to be sincere if you want spiritual benefits from it. Doesn't have to be if you want the physical benefits of fasting. We'll talk about that in a second. But if you want the spiritual benefits of fasting, your motives have to be sincere. So when the wicked fast for show, when the wicked fast to impress people, there is no spiritual benefit from that fast. That's what Isaiah 58 is mapping out for us. And then right there in verse 6 of Isaiah 58, we begin to see the benefits of a godly fast, a God-called fast or a God-purposed fast. This is not the Daniel fast we're talking about today. This is the Jesus fast. Water only, the Jesus fast. And the benefits of fasting for spiritual purposes, right there in verse 6, begin to tell us. I'll summarize them quickly for you. You can go home and read them over, study them. But number one, Benefits of spiritual fasting. Let me reword that. The spiritual benefits of fasting. Benefit number one, it will purify you of wickedness. Verse 6, it will purify you of wickedness. Benefit number two, it will lift you from anything that is burdening you. That's a good one. You might not have been sold after the first one, but the second one I think might have got you. Fasting will benefit you spiritually by lifting you from anything that is burdening you. That's verse 6. Fasting will free you from oppression. That's number 3, found in verse 6 also. It will break every addiction. Verse 6. Fasting will break every addiction. And then number 5, it will increase your generosity, your acts of kindness. That's verse 7. It will bring illumination. Maybe you're looking for direction from the Lord. Maybe you want the truth of the scriptures to be opened up to you. There you are. Verse 8, Isaiah 58, fasting will bring spiritual illumination. Number 7, it will bring healing. Healing. That's a good one. We're going to close up on that one. Physical healing. That's verse 8. Number 8, fasting will benefit you spiritually by increasing your practical righteousness. If you live a sloppy Christian life, and you're one that has to try to rely on the sloppy agape of God, don't be careless. Go on an extended fast, because fasting will increase your practical righteousness. Verse 8. Number 9, it will make your praying more effectively. That's what verse 9 tells us. We'll pray and the Lord will say, there I am. And it does. It works. It opens that channel like never before. You feel like you're talking right to God. And that's the way you should feel. So fasting will do that. Your prayers will be answered. Verse 9. It will make you less judgmental of others. Verse 9 also. It will satisfy your soul. Your soul is what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have an emotional stability trouble? Go on an extended fast. It will satisfy your soul. Verse 10. And then finally, it will strengthen your bones. Verse 11. It will strengthen your bones. Again, we're talking about physical healing. So that brings us to the physical benefits of fasting. Extended fasting will heal all of the deficiencies in the processes of your body. You heard that right. Extended fasting will heal all of the deficiencies in the processes of your body. This is something that God has set up as a way for the human body to completely reset and heal itself. So this works for anyone in any situation. Believer and unbeliever can go on an extended fast and get the health benefits that it brings. If you've been praying for a long time that God would heal you of a sickness or a disease, and nothing has happened, your prayer wasn't answered, you didn't get any better, you asked the pastor to pray for you 452 times, and nothing worked, your condition got no better, here's the question. Have you fasted for your healing? Have you gone on an extended fast for your healing? If you have blood pressure issues, extended fasting completely repairs that. If you have blood sugar issues, extended fasting completely resets that. If you have autoimmune disorders, extended fasting completely takes care of that, completely heals that. If you have cancer, extended fasting starves the cancer out. It's well known, well documented medically, scientifically, that cancer needs what to survive in the body? Sugar. That's it. And so if you go on a 30 or 40 day fast and you are depriving your body of sugar, you can take your x-ray or whatever, your MRI, before you go on your fast. You go on your fast, you go back and get another one done, and you'll find that your cancer has shrunk or disappeared, because you're starving that cancer out. When you fast, your body, it's like getting the It's like hitting the restore button on your computer, where you completely reset the software. You know, from all of that saving and deleting files and moving files, you get all that fragmentation on your hard drive. So you say, that's it, I'm done, my computer's a mess, I'm wiping it clean, I'm starting over, and you hit the restore button, and that computer comes back up as if it's a brand new computer. The day you bought that thing, that's the condition it's in. That is exactly what fasting does to the body. It resets the way your body processes everything. Your sugar, your blood pressure, your heart rate, your pulse, everything about the body that is system or process related gets completely reset, restored, and healed during an extended fast like this. Now, there are limitations to fasting and what it can't do. You can go on as many extended fasts as you want, and blind eyes are not going to be opened, and limbs are not going to regrow themselves. But you understand what I'm saying. Any system processes within the body will be completely reset with an extended fast. You are bringing your body back to a place where complete health can start all over again. If you're someone like me who sometimes has a difficult time controlling the appetites for food, then fasting will become your best friend. Because you can go for a while and you start to notice your body's not looking so good anymore. And you start to notice that you're getting unhealthy. We all know that our health issues, well, I should say the majority of our health issues, come from the foods that we eat. It comes mostly from our poor eating habits, our bad diet. And so if you keep along that path, well, before long, you're just wearing your body out. You're killing your body because of the food that you're eating, the poor diet. And so if you are one of those people like me that sometimes goes through those periods where you have trouble controlling those appetites, and Doritos looks better to you than green beans and mashed potatoes, then you can use fasting to give you that body and health reset. So, I'm going to close with a word of caution today. For those who are so far along in the process of a sickness or disease, extended fasting may be a bit more challenging. And fasting can even be deadly for some, depending on their condition, if their condition is bad enough. So there are cases where a person that is so far along in the process of a sickness or disease cannot just up and fast. Like, for instance, maybe a cancer patient is so far down that road to where chemotherapy has worn them down, and the chemotherapy is starving out the body and killing the body. It might be tough for that person to get through an extended fast. Or someone with diabetes, it might be tough for them to start an extended fast because the blood sugar levels is all about what you eat and how much of it you get. Are you getting the right amount of sugar and all that kind of stuff, right? So if you go into an extended fast, that's going to throw your body into some pretty serious repercussions. But what I'm telling you is, even if you are far along in one of those processes, if you have to, consult a physician. If you can get a physician to work with you, tell them your plans. I admit it's going to be tough to find a physician that says, oh, okay, great idea. Yeah, go on an extended fast. Go 30 or 40 days without eating. It's going to be tough to find that physician. But remember, doctors do not know better than God. God knows, and many doctors out there know, the health benefits of fasting. And if you can find someone that will work with you, that will make sure you're getting the proper supplements or nutrients along the way, or adjusting insulin levels as you go, whatever needs to be done, if you can get a physician to help you with that, then by all means, do your extended fasting until you reach that point where all of that stuff is unnecessary because your body has repaired itself and reset itself. If you're someone that suspects that you might have a sickness or disease, it's up to you. If you want to go to a doctor, sure, go to a doctor. Get your tests done. Let them tell you what you have. Let them tell you what your problems are and what you need to do and how long you have to live or whatever. Go through all that if you want. But can I encourage you, before you take the doctor's prescription on how to treat your problem, would you try an extended fast first? And maybe you're thinking, I can't do it. I can't fast. I'm out of luck. Well, see, that's part of what fasting is all about. How serious are you about, number one, your spiritual well-being? Or how serious are you about your health? If you're serious about either of those two things, you will be able to do an extended fast, and it will give you the benefits that you're looking for. So it's a matter of where our hearts are, what our desires are, and how hard we are willing to fight to get what we need for health. So isn't it amazing that God had included in the Bible from the start something like fasting? If you think about these early folks, you know, like Moses and all these prophets in the Old Testament that go on these fasts, if you think about these folks, they did not have the medical understanding that we have today to be able to see and understand the benefits of fasting and what it does to the spiritual nature and how it brings that awake within us like never before, or how it blesses and benefits the physical body. They didn't have any of that information. They just knew that fasting was a thing. And that when you really needed something from God, be it spiritual or physical, they knew that fasting was sort of like the, you know, the thing you go to when prayer wasn't getting it done. That's all they really knew. And so they fasted, and they were getting these benefits that we know about today. And God had this in the scriptures from the beginning. And it amazes me that how just simple obedience to God can bless you in ways you don't even understand. If you're a regular faster, that sounded strange, a regular faster. If you're a regular faster, maybe you don't go on an extended fast very often, but you have a regular day in certain increments of time that you fast for spiritual purposes, and you've been doing that faithfully for years, you've been benefiting from that faithfully for years, and you might not even known it. But see, that's what simple obedience to God can do. And the world may think we're crazy if they want, those that don't know about this. But as you look in the Word and you're obedient to the Lord, you're going to be blessed and benefited in ways that you probably don't even understand. Fasting is a major one. It is amazing, the benefits of fasting to the spirit and to the body. In closing, I want you all to know this. We're all going to die. We are all going to die. I mean, we have that one hope that the Lord comes back for us before we do die. But if not, if he tarries long enough, we're all going to die. So you can't fast your way out of that final thing that God has sent into your life to take you home. So this is not the fountain of youth. It won't keep you alive forever, but if you will be a faithful, determined faster while you're here on earth until the Lord calls you home, you'll be healthy, you'll benefit in the spiritual, in the emotional, and in the physical, all from simply being obedient, dedicated, and giving yourself to God in prayer and fasting. And next week, we will talk about what takes place as Jesus finishes his fast, has not eaten yet, and the devil uses this as an opportune time to attack him with the temptation of food. What that's all about, we'll cover that next week. I hope this has benefited you today. You can follow up on this by doing your own research. I would recommend Mercola.com if you don't know who he is. He is a doctor that is actually open to things that he's not getting paid to prescribe by the drug companies, like chemotherapy, radiation, depression pills, all that stuff. He's open to alternative sciences as long as he can prove them. He has a great article in there, a great video in there about extended fasting. You can learn even more than you did here today about the physical processes of it. So you can do more of that. And now that I have spent about 45 minutes or so talking about fasting, let's close in prayer and all go home and eat our huge Sunday meals. And if you are inspired today to go on an extended fast or consider an extended fast, go home and eat your Sunday away while you pray about it, while you ask the Lord, Lord, should I do this? Should I go on an extended fast? Lord, when should I start? Pray about all that. Buy up everything that you need. I do want to add one more thing. I forgot about this very important part of fasting. When you're going on a water fast only, it is also important that your body is maintaining the proper levels of sodium, which would be salt. If you're just drinking gallons and gallons of water all day, what you'll notice happening is you'll begin to get a headache, stomach problems, your heart will start pounding, you'll have difficulty breathing. What that means in an extended fast, it means you're not getting enough sodium. It means you're washing it all right out of your system. Yes, even too much water is a bad thing. You know how they say too much of anything is a bad thing? It's even true with water. So you have to maintain the proper sodium levels. Easy solution, simple solution. 8 ounces of Gatorade every handful of hours. Do that 3 or 4 times a day, 8 ounces of Gatorade. And that will level your sodium levels right out. Yes, there's unfortunately a little bit of sugar in there, but I have yet to find anything that just gives you the sodium and the electrolytes that are very positive, those positive charged ions in the body. That's the only thing I can find. It's got a little bit of sugar in it. It's a little bit of a compromise, but you do need to maintain those proper levels of sodium as you fast. So that's a major amendment to this message. I'm glad I thought of it before I sent you away. But if you'll do those things, everything we covered in this teaching today, your fasting will be safe. It will be far easier than when you've tried before, if you haven't implemented this stuff. And it will be ridiculously beneficial. I promise you, your fasting will be so beneficial, you will love to do it. If that sounds crazy, just trust me, try it. It'll be as fun to you as prayer. It'll be as fun to you as worship. All right, so let's go ahead and close in prayer. You seek the Lord on that. Go buy up what you need to do a fast. Plan it out. Be ready for it. Tell the people that need to know. Tell your wife so she's not making meals for you and you're throwing them in the trash when she's not looking. You know, do the right thing. Set it up right. And man, the Lord can use that in tremendous ways in your life. Let's pray.